Brishus Menahal, Brishus the Rabbeim, the Talmidim HaKadoshim, the Chavetz Chaim, Gamal Ador, Machaber Svarim, was also a tremendous tzaddik, a wonderful individual. And so, every night when he walked into the base of Medrash, in Radin, in a cold Russian town, he would go first to the corner, because in the corner hung out the Aniyim, the poor people. People with nowhere else to go, nowhere else to sleep. They slept inside on the hard benches. And ordinarily, the Chavetz Chaim would walk into the base of Medrash, he would turn, he would go to talk to the Aniyim. He would give them chizuk. He would smile at them. He'd shmooze, see if there's some way that he can help. But on this night, the Chavetz Chaim doesn't turn toward the Aniyim. Instead, he does a quick double take and goes the opposite direction. Why is the Chavetz Chaim walking away from Aniyim? Perhaps it's because the Chavetz Chaim himself is going to learn something. The Gadol HaDor is going to learn something he didn't know before. Because in our parsha we talk about, in Parshas Truma, V'yikhu li Truma. Kadosh Baruch Hu is telling us, take for me Truma. However, we're well familiar with building campaigns. We just lived through one for the past year. And in a building campaign, it's very nice to say, we'd like you to take some money for our building campaign. But we know what's really happening. We know what this parsha is about. It's about donating toward building the Mishkan. It's about giving tzedakah. And as nice as it is to say, can you please take some tzedakah, when our tzaddikim, when our 12th graders walk around with the pushka, and I take a dollar out of my wallet and put it in, that my wallet's a little bit lighter. I've given the money, I haven't taken the money. So what's the Kodesh Baruch Hu saying, v'yikhu li truma? Well, Kevra, the Chavetz Chaim turned away because a few months ago he'd been collecting money. He'd been asking, can you please take some money for the yeshiva? He was fundraising because Rosh HaYeshiva have to raise money for the yeshiva. And he's sitting in the office of a gvir. This guy is rich. This guy is wealthy. This guy's got it all. And he's sitting in his immaculate office. And they're talking about the yeshiva. And the guy says, of course I'm going to donate. There's one small problem. I don't have my checkbook today. I want to donate, I'm committed to donate, I will donate to the yeshiva, I will donate to the Chavetz Chaim yeshiva in Radin, except, I can't do it right now, but I'll send you a check in the mail. So the Chavetz Chaim says, thank you so much, he goes on his way, he continues to fundraise, continues to write svarim, and sends a letter to this guy saying, hey, you were supposed to donate to the yeshiva, do you mind sending that check? No answer. Sends another letter. Would it be at all possible, perhaps you forgot, maybe this got lost in the mail. Can you send that check that you committed to the yeshiva? Again, no answer. So the Chavetz Chaim throws his hands up and says, okay, fine. He moves on. And the yeshiva does just fine. But a few months later, the Chavetz Chaim walks into that yeshiva. He walks in, and instead of going to the Aniyim, the Chavetz Chaim walks the other direction because he saw a specific Ani. He saw someone that he recognized that wasn't usually there. It was the same gvir. That same rich guy who a few months ago had all the money in the world, tonight, he's wearing tattered clothing. His beard, which before was perfectly shaven, is now all scraggly and long. He smells a little bit. And the Chavetz Chaim is trying to avoid this person. Because it's one thing to lose all your money, but it's another thing to see someone who knew how much money you had and see how little you have now. So the Chavetz Chaim avoids him, but that doesn't stop this individual, our former gvir, this now poor person, sees the Gadol HaDor, sees the Chavetz Chaim, and runs across the yeshiva. He runs across the yeshiva, and he grabs the Chavetz Chaim by the lapels, and he starts to yell at him. He says, why didn't you stop me? I was walking out of your office. You were walking out of my office. Why didn't you make me give you something? I could have just given you a dollar. The Chavetz Chaim says, what? What are you talking about? So you were in my office a few months ago. I had so much money. I had the world at my fingertips. I could have donated to your yeshiva. And instead you walked away. Chavetz Chaim was soft-spoken. I'm sorry. I sent a letter. I sent two. Why didn't you send 50? Send a letter every day. I could have donated to your yeshiva. I had so much and I lost it all. But if I had donated to your yeshiva, I would have at least had that. Chevra, v'yikhu li truma, take for me truma, is because the only thing that we really ever have is what we've given away, what we've given to someone else. And actually, I was in RA Crown a few years ago speaking, and I told this story, so you might remember, that Rebbetzin Machlis was this incredible tzaddikas. If you're having a rough time during Seder and you want to do something maybe even more valuable than Talmud Torah, read the Rebbetzin Machlis biography. It's out of this world. It'll change your life. Emunah with love and chicken soup. And in that book, there's a story that every year, you know, the Machlises gave everything they had away, except when it was their kid's birthday, they would give the kids a few shekels, maybe a $10 bill. And so she's talking to one of her daughters, and for her birthday, she gets a $10 bill. So they're talking, and she's being machanech her, she's teaching her about Meiser, and so she says, so you have a $10 bill, how much are you going to give to tzedakah? And so she says, come on, we can do this math. I'm going to give a dollar, so how much are you going to have left? You had a $10, you gave one away. How much money do you have left? And our boys want to say $9. And if we were in math class, that would be right. But if you got $10, you gave one to tzedakah, and there are nine in your pocket that you're going to spend on a toy, you're going to spend on candy, you're going to spend at Sitco, then how much money did you really have? You only had one.
Oh.
Only what you gave away. Because guys, there are a lot of people we talk about, a lot of people that get referenced from up here, a lot of people we talk about throughout our day. There's a name that I wonder if we know. Does anyone know who Philip Rogers is?
Yes.
Who's Philip Rogers?
I don't know.
Does anyone know who Howard Toohey is?
Toohey.
Philip Rogers was the founder of West Rogers Park. Philip Rogers founded West Rogers Park. His son-in-law was named Howard Toohey. We drive on him, and some might even come close to cursing his name on a regular basis. Thank you, Liz. They founded the city that so many of us live in. They founded the street that we drive on. Their names live forever. You know what name's going to last for a very long time? The Rother Family Gymnasium. For decades, mamish decades, they're going to be Skokie Yeshiva Talmidim, walking in and out of this building, looking up at that gym and seeing that there's a family that donated because they wanted our boys to be able to play basketball. How much money have the Rothers made? We're not going to talk about it. But how much impact have the Rothers made? At the very least, on the Skokie Yeshiva, enough that their name will be remembered. Because what you're remembered for is not... Base Brothers too. All right, guys. Okay, camera, come on, let's go. So, gentlemen, we might make a lot, we might accomplish a lot, but what we ultimately have is not what we have made for ourselves, not what we've kept, but what we've given to someone else, what we've donated, what someone else has gained because of our efforts. I'll give you a raya. We're going to do a little experiment. Everyone, show of hands. How many people in this room have heard of the name, Karim Abdul-Jabbar? I'm seeing most hands, not all hands, and that's totally fine. Even Israeli who knows. Impressive. How many people, if your hands are not up yet, have heard the name LeBron James? Okay, let's try again. How many people have heard of Karl Malone? Hands still up. Put him down if you don't know his name. Karl Malone. How many people have ever heard of Wilt Chamberlain? How many people have heard of Moses Malone?
Yeah, he's related to Moses.
Deborah, there are still a lot of hands. We have a lot of Bikim in the room, but I'll ask you to look around. I'll ask you to look around and maybe ask everybody Goldman to take note that the number one leading scorer in NBA history, everybody knows. Number two, everyone knows. A lot of people know who Karl Malone is at number three. And Shaq and Wilt Chamberlain and Michael Jordan, we know. But number 10, not very far down the list. Half the room doesn't know who Moses Malone is. Half the room doesn't. Gentlemen, if you know who he is, I'm very, very proud of you. And Yitz Hashem, you'll also know the lineage of all the Malka Yisrael, Malka Yehuda.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. But guys, there was an awesome article I read this past week from Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Kareem held the record, the scoring record, and it was taken from him by Michael Jordan. By LeBron James. Sorry. LeBron James. Calm down. That if he had the choice between his record staying his record and only his for the next 100 years, or one afternoon playing with his grandkids, he would be on the floor playing with Legos and eating Uncrustables in a moment. Remember, people who have accomplished things, their names are not always remembered. They're forgotten relatively quickly. But if you've given something to someone else, your name lasts forever. Your legacy is eternal. We're running short on time, so I want to just share two other little things. You might be saying, Rabbi Zucker, you've told a lot of stories about people giving money, and that's not an option for us while we're in high school. But fear not, because Moshe Feinstein says you don't just have to give time, give money. You can also give your time. That we have a concept of miser. We have a concept of miser that we give 10% of the money we make, but we can also give 10% of the time that we have. And okay, particularly here, I'm here all day. You have plenty of time. You can give your time away. Your time can be given not just on a Shabbaton volunteering with Yachad or with Camp Simcha. Your time can be given to the guy sitting next to you in Shir or in class who has no idea what's going on. Your time can be given to someone who maybe would appreciate a little bit of someone to play with on the basketball court. Your time can be given to someone who might appreciate just you inviting him on your walk to Sitco at only appropriate times that you're supposed to be going. Even if we don't have lots of money, we have the time that we can share. And I'll conclude with a story. I apologize for running late, but it's totally your fault. And it's a story from Rabbi Abba Braunschweigel, Zichron Livracha, Zichron Tzadik Livracha. Rabbi Braunschweigel passed away this past week. Rabbi Braunschweigel was Rosh Yeshiva in Lander College for Men. Before that, he was Rosh Yeshiva, my alma mater, in Yeshiva University. Rabbi Braunschweigel was a tzaddik, yisod olam. And I'll tell you a story not even about him, but how you develop into becoming Rabbi Braunschweigel. A story about his father. Because Rabbi Braunschweigel lived through the Shoah, and his father lived through. And a few short months after the war, you know, he managed to get his hands on some money. He was an astute businessman before the war. And even after the war, he managed to make a lot of money relatively quickly. And so 6 months after the war ended, the Braunschweigel family, what was left of it, was living in a Nazi mansion. But it was a mansion. They didn't need so much space, so they invited Orkin. They invited guests. And basically anyone who needed a place to stay after Europe had been destroyed was able to stay at this house. And at the mealtimes, the Braunschweigels didn't sit up front. They didn't have any sort of lavish clothing. Nobody was giving them lots of kavod. They sat with everybody else. They were sitting at the end of the table, middle of the table. Didn't make a difference. No one knew that the Braunschweigels, that our Braunschweigel's father was supporting this entire endeavor. The food, the clothing, the warmth that they were getting. And so one day they're sitting at dinner. In the middle of the table, nothing special, nothing fancy. And there's a guy who'd been there for about a week and saying, "This is amazing. I've got a warm place to sleep. I've got food. How long can I stay here?" And he doesn't know who's in charge. He doesn't know that the person he's talking to is not just another guest. He doesn't know that the person he's talking to is actually the person funding all of this. Rabbi Braunschweigel's father tells him, "I've been staying here a while, and the Baal Bayis hasn't kicked me out yet." Guys, when we think about giving something away, if we start with the assumption that it belongs to us, it's a little bit harder. But whether it's our money, whether it's our time, whether it's any koach that we have, any ability that you possess, It's not really yours. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave it to you. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave it to you, and he wants you to use that to give to someone else. And so the final 20 seconds on the notion of giving a little bit to someone else. One of our chaverim, one of our rebbeim, is going through a tough time now. Rabbi Cantor's father is sick. And in Mitzvah Hashem, he's on the path to getting better, but he's not doing so well. And we want to help out. We want to give a little bit. I'm not asking for your money. I'm asking for your time. Precious time, particularly after Night Seder. Every single Motzai Night Seder, Rabbi Goldman gives an Orkos Yosher Chabura. And without letting him know in advance, I'm asking everyone who can to spend an extra 2 minutes, maybe 4 minutes, at Orkos Yosher B'Zchus Rabbi Bill Cantor. Because he could use an extra refuah, he could use the chizuk of our Talmud Torah. It doesn't need to be hours upon end, it can be 2 minutes. And even if it's hard for you, it'll be a skus for Rabbi Bill Cantor, and imagine how good Rabbi Daniel Cantor will feel when he knows that his precious Talmidim cares so much to spend a little bit of extra time. Have a good Shabbos.